We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to what you have for us, that you reveal the treasures in Scripture as only you can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Acts 22, verses 1 to 29, Paul the Roman. Short time ago, I remembered very clearly an event that happened when we were still over in Michigan. And actually, we were in Beaver Dam at this particular point, I believe. No, it was Michigan. I'll get it straight, yes. But anyway, our teacher there was a principal, was Mark Taki, and he had a father that was an artist and did a lot of painting and sold a lot of pictures. And he had his pictures displayed one time during a weekend. And so Chris and I went to see these pictures. And so when we got there, Mark's father was doing something that really surprised me. He had a bunch of pictures for sale, but he was still painting on one of them. And so I walked up to him and I said, "How do you know when you've finished your picture?" And he said, "It's not finished until I sell it." And you know, I thought, that's not bad. And so I've been using my sermons that way in preparation. And it's all the work that's done during the week on it, but the sermon isn't really finished until it's delivered. And the reason I'm saying this is that about 20 minutes ago, the Holy Spirit guided me to make a change, and He had revealed something to me that I'm going to bring out in during the sermon. So the sermon that I'm giving right now is a little different than what I wrote during the week. So I'd like you all to read the whole text. It's 29 verses long. I'm not going to go through it word by word, but I'm going to give you what I feel the Holy Spirit has given me. So Paul, as he was being led into the castle, said to the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days made us an uproar and led us out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" But Paul said, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarshish, a city of Cilicia, a city of no means, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." And when he had given him his license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with his hand unto the people. Now, these are the people that want to kill him. And when there was a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. So they started listening to him when he spoke in their language. And he started out this way. "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarshish, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city, Jerusalem, at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye are this day." So he's dropping a few names here and a few thoughts to kind of soften these people up again. They hate him. They want to kill him. "But I'm a Jew, just like you are. True, I was born in a Gentile city, Tarsus, in Gentile country, Cilicia, but I was brought up in this city, Jerusalem, at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was what we would call a seminary professor, and he was the best of the best. And the Jews were gathered together one time, crying out for 2 hours, "Great is Diana of Ephesus," crying out. And Gamaliel talked to them and said, "You know, you guys could be in real trouble. Everybody knows that we worship the false goddess. Everybody knows that. You don't have to cry that out for 2 hours. But now I say to you, there rose up, but look into the past, there were a few people that caused a bunch of trouble like Paul is doing, but it all came to nothing. God didn't bless it. And so now I say to you, refrain from these men," these were Christians now, "and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. It's not going to work anyway. You're not going to have to tear it down. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." And they listened to him, Gamaliel, they listened to him, and they beat the men and let him go and told him not to preach anymore. So anyway, now Paul is talking to these people, and he mentions, I persecuted this way," that means the way that Jesus taught, "I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." That's my history. You know that. That's what I used to be. "And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I've received letters unto the brethren to go to Damascus and bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished." And then he continues, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee all things of which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light," he was blind now, "being led by hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth." The just one is Jesus Christ. "And thou shalt be his witnesses unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of God." So then we know a little later on that The first thing Paul did was go into Arabia for 3 years. He had a lot of restudying of Scripture to do. And at the end of the 3 years, it came to pass when I was come again to Jerusalem. Now he's going to back to Jerusalem. He'd been gone for 3 years. He went back empty-handed. And even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat every in synagogue with those that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. In other words, they're going to believe me. They know what I was in the past, and they're going to see the big change, and they're going to believe that. But God said unto him, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now, here's my change. When I read this, I know every one of you were thinking, you know, we heard this before. And we did. We heard the very words that Paul said about his conversion already several chapters back. What we maybe do not remember and maybe don't even know is that when Paul spoke these words that we're looking at this morning, this had happened 25 or 26 years from when he spoke them the first time. In other words, there was a 25 or 26 year period between what we looked at before and what we're looking at right now. And a lot had happened during those 25 years. A lot. And so we're going to digress a little bit and go to what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And listen very, very carefully to these words. He's talking about the suffering that he has undergone by preaching Jesus Christ. And so he starts in verse 21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. However, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. So the point is, you guys always brag about how good you are and what you've done and how you've suffered. I'll do the same thing, and I'll wipe you out. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That was not easy to endure. 5 times. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Point being, have any of you guys suffered that way? In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He's not finished yet. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now that had happened, most of it, during the past 25 years. And now what is amazing is that Paul goes right back to the very time that he was converted. He hadn't forgotten that during the last 25 years. He went right back there and word for word repeated it. There's a lesson here. There is a big, big lesson here. And the lesson is that we have been be very, very careful that we find ourselves in the same position that Paul found his after 25 years of suffering for the Lord, which we all do. We're living in enemy territory, and we're hated by the children of the devil. What I'm thinking of right now is a danger that Paul had, and it's a danger that you and I also had. And we look at the situation here as far as Paul was concerned when he was still called Saul. And he was going to Damascus to search out Christians, put them in chains, bring them back to Jerusalem, and kill them. And here we learn about noon, all of a sudden, a great light appeared. Question: what would have happened to Saul if 2 minutes before 12 noon, he had had a chariot accident and died? What would have been his position then? And the thing is, he would have approached the throne of God in judgment as a heathen person hating Jesus Christ and killing his people, and the Heavenly Father would have judged him, and the Son would have judged him, and the Holy Spirit would have judged him and sent him down to hell to suffer forever. That would have happened if Saul had had an accident with his chariot and died 1 minute before 12 noon. He'd have gone to hell. But during that next minute, Jesus Christ appeared unto him in love and mercy, and by the Holy Spirit converted him. So within a period of 1 minute, he went from hell to heaven. What a difference, and how close he was to going the other way. So what happened after that? What happened during the next 25 years? He suffered. He suffered a lot. But he always remembered how it all started with him at 12 noon with the hot sun burning down near Damascus. He remembered that. It's a good thing that he did. And that was of the Holy Spirit. So I'm thinking right now of the seven letters that the Holy Spirit wrote to the churches in the final book of the Bible, Revelation. And the first church that he addresses in Revelation chapter 2, the opening verses, is the church at Ephesus. And they had done a lot of good things, and they were walking the right way and doing the right things. But then all of a sudden, he said to them, "One thing thou lackest." there was a problem. As good as it looked, there was a problem, and it was a serious one. What was it? Thou hast lost thy first love. Lost their first love. How can that happen? Well, it can. And it did. And this is a danger that every single one of us have. None of us have been faithful unto death yet. That lies in the future. And until then, we are walking in danger all the way. And we've got to follow, by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, how it worked with Saul, who now is called Paul. He went back to square one all the time. And this didn't just happen once or twice. This was a daily occurrence in his life. He went back to square one. And that's what Luther says we're supposed to do. Not the same words, but there should be a daily repentance. Repentance for what? Well, the sins you've committed. Well, I've already repented of them. Yeah, but you daily sin much every single day. Every single day you walk in sin, you live in sin. You're in a body that's corrupt. And you have to say what Paul said in Romans. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. I'm in the middle of a war, and I lose every single day. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of corruption? Well, Jesus Christ will. But there has to be a repentance, and it has to be a daily repentance. If we don't do this, we're going to have it happen to us as it happened to the church of Ephesus. You kind of forget about the beginning. Forget about what you were and what Christ did for you. That's old hat now. And it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference how you live, because it's all covered anyway. God is a God of love. And so why repent? We've already repented. Well, you got to repent every single day. And you can't do that. You cannot do that unless you are studying under the guidance of the Holy Spirit from Holy Scripture every single day of your life. That's the only way this can be done. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that does it. So what you and I have to do every single day is pray for the Holy Spirit to keep us in the true faith and to keep us in the first love that we had when we first realized that how our situation had changed so greatly from the torments in hell forever to eternal glory with Jesus Christ in eternity plus. So, but this has to be done, and otherwise we're going to lose our first love. It can happen so easily. So this was the digression that just came to me shortly before church started today, and I felt I had to share it with you. It's so important, and it can happen to us. We don't want to have it happen to us like it did at the Church of Ephesus. They still all knew the doctrines. They knew all the teachings. But they had lost their first love. It didn't really make all that much difference. And you know, God is so faithful in how he does things that sometimes we miss the miracle in it. And one thing I'm talking about is the passage in Scripture, "He maketh the grass to grow for the cattle." So he's talking about for the cattle. And God makes the grass grow out in the boonies all over the world for the cattle. And he does for us too. We look out in our yard and we see green grass. And if it grows too much, we have to cut it. And it grows pretty fast. And we kind of take all that for granted. A man called Daniel March one time took a trip over to the Holy Land and was on a caravan, a bunch of people that were being led through the great and terrible wilderness. And it was so the path was so narrow, they had to walk single file in this one place. And there were a lot of people, over 100. And he was toward the back. And they were walking along this path, and all of a sudden everybody stopped walking. And he couldn't figure why. And so then they started walking it one person at a time. It took over an hour. And when he got there, he found out why it had taken so long. There was a little plot of green grass about the size of a quarter. And people saw that. And they were so amazed at it that they had to stop and look at it. Well, they saw a miracle out there. We see miracles every day when we look out at our yard. All the grass is growing. It's miraculous. But he does it on such a great scale, God does, and so often, year after year, day after day, summer after summer. And he's so faithful in it that we take it for granted. When was the last time you ever thanked God for the grass? I didn't do it for a long time. I didn't even do it yesterday, to tell you the truth. So God is so faithful in forgiving us everything, but we can't forget about the price that was paid for this. And it was nothing less than the perfect life and death of the only begotten Son of God. That's the price. And we can't forget that. And we can't forget what we had by nature, what we had, what our future was, eternal punishment in the fires of hell. And that's what we deserved. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And his precious blood covers our sins. We can't forget that. And our love dare not grow cold. It should be enkindled every single day. And you and I can't do this. Only the Spirit can do that in us. So we have to pray for the Holy Spirit to do that every day and study his word. And you know, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to recite from memory a piece of scripture every day that will remind you of what your situation was and what it is. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who, Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be free. If you recite that every day, not just mere recitation, but from the heart, you're never going to leave your first love. There's always going to be repentance. And this is so important for every single one of us. And that's the main thing that I wanted to give you today. At this time, I'd like to go finish up the thought to kind of keep it with the theme, which is Paul the Roman. Paul was a Roman. Who knew? And so in verse 22 of our text, they gave him audience unto his word. They listened to him. He was talking to them in the Hebrew language. And he was the first member of his class, the numero uno, under Gamaliel. And they knew that. So they gave him audience unto his word, and then what did they do? Did they repent? No. Then lifted up their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." It's a bunch of baloney that he was saw light 12 noon. The sun was shining. That's probably the light. He didn't hear Jesus talking to him. He's making that all up. He's deserted us. He's a renegade. He's a member of the enemy camp now. He doesn't deserve to live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain, this is a Roman, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and abide, that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know whereof they cried out so against them. So the chief captain wants to check this out for himself. He's going to take their word for it. And as they bound him with thongs, listen to what Paul said. As they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, the centurion, every single time we meet a centurion in Scripture, the guy's a good one. He's a good, honest person. Sometimes they're even converted. The centurion, the mastermind of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, was converted. And when Jesus died, he said, certainly this man was the Son of God. That was a centurion. So this was, so Paul saw this centurion. And the centurion that stood by, and Paul said unto him, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Nobody knew he was a Roman, but he was. And when the centurion heard that, what did he do? He went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. I had to pay through the nose to become a Roman citizen. And Paul said, but I was born free. I was born a Roman citizen. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. It was a tremendous blessing, physically speaking, in those days, to be a Roman citizen. If you were a Roman citizen, no matter what job you had, whether it was a captain of the army or a slave cleaning up the dust, if you were a Roman citizen, you had clout and you were protected. And nobody had known that Paul was a Roman citizen. And he escaped death by that very fact. You see how God works. He always works at all ends of the line. And God willing, we'll continue this next Sunday.